What's up, Canes fans? Welcome to the Canes Insight Daily Podcast, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. We're talking football, but not necessarily Miami Hurricanes football. The two biggest games on the schedule next year are two biggest rivals, Florida State and Florida. Going to break down their spring games, some strengths, some weaknesses, how the matchup might shape up. Never too early to start talking about these big games, and now we have some evidence to go off. So we'll be talking about that. Also, Miami is on the hot pursuit of a transfer running back. They received a crystal ball for Damian Martinez, the running back out of Oregon State, who we've been talking about for a couple weeks. We will dive into the latest in that recruitment. First, I want to tell you about people that are always getting five-star rankings. They're not showing up like FSU did in the spring game and fumbling all over the place. This is Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, the absolute best in the state when it comes to making sure that you get the compensation you are owed if you've been in an accident or someone you care about has been in an accident. 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of your life with Anajar and Levine. Bring it on, Pete. Pete, back from the cruise, freshly tanned. So excited to have you back. I was trying to do this by myself, and it was not very easy, so glad to have you back on board.
Yeah, man, excited to be back. And like you said, talking a couple rivals. I know this stuff always gets people fired up, getting ready for the season, have Florida game one. But excited to kind of look at such an early look, right? Because we know that Miami's roster is going to still look a little bit different, you know, adding certain pieces, certain spots that we expect to be difference makers for this team, right? So it's tough to judge and jump to too many conclusions from what we saw this weekend, right? In these games. But taking a look at it, what were your biggest takeaways? I guess we'll start with UF.
So right at the top, I thought Florida, just from a body type standpoint, watching their game back to back with FSU, because I watched the recordings back to back, I thought they looked more impressive physically, quite frankly, than FSU, which is crazy because FSU had a very good season last year. UF had a losing season last year. But just from a body type standpoint, I thought UF looked a little better. Format was different. You know, US format was the ones against the twos for the most part, different than what FSU did, different than what the Miami Hurricanes did. So that colors it a little bit. So on the quarterback front, I thought the Gators had a much better quarterback room based on the spring game than FSU. Graham Mertz, I know he gets a lot of criticism and he's not a dynamic player, but I personally am impressed by what he does in his role. I liked him in high school. I thought he was better than I expected at Florida based on what he had shown in Wisconsin. Looked more like the guy that he was in high school. And he did a nice job managing the game in the spring game. Again, it's just a spring game, but he knew what he was doing. He was in command, has adequate physical tools. I personally think he is better than DJ at FSU. I'm more concerned with facing him than facing DJ. He's not going to beat you with his, you know, playmaking ability, but he will force you to beat him. He's not going to beat himself. So I was impressed with Graham Mertz just watching the game again. He limited his options he could throw to, which we'll talk about, but hit a lot of different targets, showed decent athleticism when he had to. Again, not a dynamic player, but was able to get out of the pocket a couple times. Was able to place a few throws, layer throws. He's not a one-speed passer. So again, I thought he looked pretty good. And then the backup, DJ Lagway, the star true freshman, you can see the physicality. He made some wild throws, threw a touchdown, ball jumped out of his hand, great arm strength, big body. You could see him playing packages, and I would be surprised if we did not see him against Miami playing packages, doing the Tebow thing, because he has the big body to run in short yardage. And of course, if you overplay, he can hit you deep. He has the arm strength. He's a passing quarterback. He was running to throw most of the time in the spring game, but package wise to play right away, he could give you that running threat with his size and then also throw. So I came away impressed with the UF quarterback room compared to what we saw at FSU.
Yeah, I think with Mertz, D, you're looking at a guy who, if he had a loaded roster around him at the likes of a Alabama or a Georgia, he would win a whole lot of football games over there, right? And there's a lot of quarterbacks in college football in that situation who would as well. But I think there's people in the NFL who are intrigued by Mertz as well. And I'm not talking about him as a high draft pick or anything, right? But you see time and time again, these steady quarterbacks who don't make mistakes, right? They make the throws that the defense gives them. They're liked by the NFL, right? So I look at Mertz as a guy who has played a lot of college football, right? A ton of experience. And from Miami's perspective, going into a week one game, obviously Cam Ward has played a lot of football as well. But to me, I'm with you. I like Mertz. And again, don't think the supporting cast is all that special, but I think he in himself is a solid quarterback at this level.
Fortunately for Miami, I agree with you. Mertz with a good supporting cast could win a lot of games. Fortunately, I don't think he has a very good supporting cast right now. So that's my other takeaway, is that I really didn't see a lot of playmakers on Florida's roster aside from number three, Eugene Wilson, the sophomore, number three wide receiver. He made a huge play in the game, busted coverage, ran down the field, was really the guy Mertz was looking for every time. He's a cut above any wide receiver, any running back, or any skill position player on Florida. And quite frankly, he's above anybody on FSU as well. So there's a clear difference between Wilson and the rest. Talking about Florida now, I thought their second wide receiver was very nondescript. They got this guy, you know, DK from Wisconsin transfer. He didn't stand out. No one really stood out to me at wide receiver. I know there's a couple guys you like, people you'll talk about, but I thought skill-wise, they were lacking. I didn't see a tight end that was doing anything. Running back-wise, they had some nice size. Jaden Baugh, the true freshman from Atlanta, 6'1", 237, big kid. He had some nice runs. Jacoby Jackson, a JUCO transfer entering his second year, another big guy. They had some size there, but I think you lose at the end. You lose Pearsall. I think they've lost some speed and some dynamic ability and haven't necessarily replaced it, again, other than bringing back Wilson.
I'll say this, Steve, with these spring games a lot of times too, and it's kind of why it's tough to jump to conclusions, right? Because as Canes fans and people who follow the program closely, we understand there's guys on the Miami roster who maybe haven't had those seasons yet, but we expect them to take the next step, right? So just trying to look for guys on a Florida roster, as we're talking about right now, who maybe haven't had the greatest production, but a guy like number 22, Khalil Jackson, was someone who stood out, big-bodied receiver, 6'3", had a little bit of speed to him, right? You're looking for guys who maybe, again, right now may not be on the radar nationally, but who could be a mismatch type problem for Miami week one, right? And he's a guy who started 9 games last year, only had 21 catches, but Florida legacy, I believe he was a walk-on who earned a scholarship, interestingly enough. So again, not a highly heralded guy coming out, but just trying to pinpoint some guys who, again, could catch Miami by surprise week one. He was someone who stood out at the receiver position a bit.
And look, I think to me on offense, the real story of Florida is going to be their offensive line, because they're going to win without a premier playmaker aside from Wilson, without a quarterback that is going to make plays on his own. The offensive line needs to be there, and that was a weakness for their team last year. They made a lot of changes in the portal. Left tackle Austin Barber is out for the spring. I think he's out until camp with a serious injury. So hard to tell on the offensive line. They were going against a second-team defensive line. It didn't blow me away physically like Miami's does, but they were okay. I mean, Mertz had some nice pockets. We'll have to see how that unit looks. I think going as we look forward to the – we're going to have a lot of – podcast, a lot of discussions before August 31st. But I think the matchup between Miami's defensive line, Ruben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, et cetera, against Florida's offensive line is going to be the matchup. It's hard to say too much from this game. But a couple other names, Pete, before I kick it back to you. Asa Turner, the safety from Washington, Huskies transferred. Just like we got a Washington transfer, Mish Powell. Florida got a safety transfer as well. Not the better of the two, but they did get a safety transfer. He looked active. And then LJ McCray, premier, true freshman, five-star, number 17. You could see his talent. He flashed. He'll probably play and play a role against Miami based on what I saw from him in this game.
So switching gears here to Florida State. Most of the talk this weekend on social media, on Twitter and stuff regarding that game was DJ Uiagalelei's performance. By the numbers, 12 for 27, did not have a great day. A lot of inconsistencies that we've seen throughout his career, right? To me, again, just trying to not have these knee-jerk reactions. I understand the game planner and schemer that Norvell is on Saturdays, right? So I would expect a lot of the weaknesses of his game to kind of be masked somewhat, right? And again, very much like UF, is going to come down to the playmakers around him. They're obviously losing a lot. Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, Trey Benson. I mean, these were all not only NFL prospects, right, which goes a long way, but very productive players at that level and last season in particular. So your thoughts on that game?
To me, I took up some big picture notes and some specific notes. We'll get into both. The big picture note I took on FSU, there are two real ones that jumped out to me. Number one, compressed pockets. It seemed to me that their offensive line lacks a little bit of power. I don't think they have the size and mass and just overall NFL talent of Miami's offensive line, for example. So you saw a lot of compressed pockets where Florida State's defensive line, even if they didn't get a sack, they're able to really squeeze DJ. And DJ's big and strong and tall. He can stand in there and throw, but he seems a little out of sorts. And he's not the most athletic guy. So when he was pushed off his spot a little bit within that compressed pocket, he was throwing some inaccurate balls. And the big note I had was, where are the matchup problems? You look at Florida State last year. Jordan Travis was a matchup problem with his legs. If he was able to get on the edge on you, put you in conflict because he could run and throw, he caused a lot of problems in that way. Plus, he could make the offensive coordinator right, make up for some offensive line mistakes with his ability to elude when that's not necessarily the play call. So that was one thing in terms of a matchup problem. Trey Benson, 222 pounds, 4.3 speed. You lose that ability. Receiver, you had Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, two of the biggest, probably the two best big receivers in the ACC, as good as any in the country. And those two guys made a ton of contested catches. They were matchup problems. We saw that against Miami. We see that pretty much every game FSU played. Didn't see that anywhere on the spring game, any matchup problem like that. Jaheim Bell, tight end slash fullback, similar to some of the guys that Miami has on the roster now. He didn't do much at all. They didn't replace him at all. So now you had a guy who was a matchup problem against safeties and linebackers, too fast for linebackers, too big for safeties. He's out of the picture. You lose Jared Verse, who first-round defensive end, Braden Fisk, second-round defensive tackle. And again, these are guys that created problems for you, and they're not necessarily getting replaced by equivalent players. Also, Renardo Green, a defensive back, he'll probably be a day two pick, although I think they're doing well at that position, which we'll talk about later. So overall, I think when you watch Florida State in the past, you said, how are we going to deal with Travis's running? How are we going to deal with these big receivers? How are we going to deal with these defensive linemen? How are we going to deal with Jaheim Bell? How are we going to stop Trey Benson from making a big run against us? I don't see replacements stepping up at any of those positions that give you the same type of matchup concerns.
Yeah, I know they're excited about the kid from Bama, Malik Benson, who transferred over, wasn't very productive over there. But you know how they have him and Roydell Williams coming over at running back, who showed some flashes in the game. So those are potentially a couple guys to stand out. But again, it's natural we're going to compare the situation to Miami, where Miami is returning as they're still looking to add another premier guy at that position. But you're returning Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George is two of the best receivers in the conference, right? So that to me is an advantage for Miami's point of view there. But again, and you mentioned it, they had guys to scheme for last year. Norvell had legit weapons who are, again, going to be playing in the NFL now. So I'm sure they're going to do some work in the portal, but some things to still be added to the roster there for sure. Offensively, I think defensively they're in a better spot, as we'll get to now.
Yeah, and look, the portal's not done. I think both Florida and Florida State are going to be hot on the trails of a wide receiver from the portal. It'll be interesting to see if whoever they get is better than who Miami gets, because Miami's looking for a portal wide receiver too. They have better receivers on the roster right now. Will Miami get a better portal receiver than these guys get? That would be interesting to watch. Or will these guys get a Keon Coleman type, a Pearsall type that really sets them over the edge and eliminates some of these concerns? That to me is something to watch as we finish this portal season. What is FSU going to add? What's UF going to add? And what is Miami going to add as far as portal receivers? But in general, I thought the wide receiver, you reminded me of watching, quite frankly, some of Miami spring games in the past where the receivers just didn't get any separation. And you're wondering, are the DBs that good? Are the receivers that bad? Is it true somewhere in the middle? I think Benson does have speed. You have to respect, even though he hasn't been productive, he does have speed. You know, DJ, for all of his faults, he's very good at these long developing routes. His arm's as good as anybody, whether it's, you know, deep crossers, just, you know, over routes behind the linebackers or just going deep. He has the arm strength to do that. Benson gives him that dimension, but they need guys that can separate and beat man coverage. And I didn't see a lot of that from the receiving core. Now on the positive side, I should say their defensive backs to me were very, very impressive. Just looking through my notes, Fentrell Cypress made some nice plays. AZ Thomas, Edwin Joseph, who Miami fans remember from when we recruited him. Apparently some portal buzz with him. He's a good player. I think there might be interest if he jumps into the portal, but they have depth at defensive back, multiple layers of defensive backs, different than Miami where you have a thin defensive back room. Florida State has good top end guys and they have good depth at that position. Linebacker, I think they're weak outside of DJ Lundy, number 10. Defensive line, good first team. Second team's probably not as good. Name that jumped out to me, Marvin Jones, number 7, the 5-star. I'm not saying he's a 5-star right now as far as he looks like a first-round pick. It's going to be a development with him. But just watching the game, he looked physically like a 5-star player. Deflected a pass, got a sack. He looked different than some of the other guys they had. So that's something to keep in mind as a Canes fan.
Yeah, Conrad Hussey, another guy from South Florida at the safety position who I know, talking to some people up that way, they're very excited. The staff's very excited about him. He showed some flashes in the game as well. But it's going to be interesting to see who kind of gets added to the mix for both Florida State and Florida here. It's going to directly impact Miami, both teams on the roster this year, D. But I got to tell you, the body types, like you said, very, very interesting here, comparing them to Miami, because you can definitely say that Cristobal has done a fantastic job doing that.
Yeah, it's recruiting, right? When you stack top 10 classes, when you're getting premier guys in the portal as opposed to middle tier guys. Remember, FSU was getting the premier guys a couple of years ago, as we saw. It adds up. Now, again, their defensive backs look good. I think they're going to be good on defensive line. Farmer was out. He's a very good player. Daryl Jackson's up and down, but I think he's pretty talented and good. They had the Oregon State transfer playing inside as opposed to end. So they have guys on the D-line. Depth is probably going to be a concern for them. But with both Florida and FSU, are they going to add guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands? Are they going to add just receivers that can get open, period? I think both of those are needs. There's just, aside from Wilson, number 3 for Florida, I did not see a lot of playmakers in either game that you say, wow, this is someone we really have to worry about in Keon. Whereas with Miami, look, Miami has Davion Martinez, we'll talk about here. He's one of the top 10 backs in the country. Cam Ward himself is a playmaker. Mertz is good for what he does. DJ has his skills as well, but none of them are as dynamic as a Cam Ward. So you say, Cam Ward, you got to worry about. Damian Martinez, you got to worry about. Restrepo, who's not Randy Moss, he's not Andre Johnson, but for what he does, you got to worry about him. You can't just not include him on the game plan. Jacoby George had about, you know, he had a huge game. I don't remember the exact number, but he put a major number against FSU last year. Elijah Arroyo, if he gets going, I didn't see any tight ends on UF side or any tight ends on Florida State side that looked anything just physically, remotely, like what Miami has with Elijah Arroyo and Riley Williams. Again, just physical body type running around. I know those guys haven't produced yet, but Florida State, they did not have any tight end like that on the field, just physically, or nor did Florida.
So you brought up Damian Martinez. We'll get into that now, as there's been a crystal ball, another prediction out here for Martinez to land at Miami. He has canceled his Kentucky visit. I believe he's seen Mississippi State, Arizona. How do things stand right now with him, D, based on what you know? And again, we've talked about on this show time and time again, but what would Miami be adding with him?
Listen, I think Miami's in a great spot. He might be wearing this polo, which, by the way, shout out to Caneswear. Thank you for the polo. Caneswear.com, the spot where Miami fans shop. No place better. If you like this polo, people were asking in the comments, Caneswear is where you want to go, or Caneswear.com. But on Martinez, he just canceled his visit to Kentucky, Cristobal to Miami. Miami's going to in-home with him today. Again, their second in-home visit, plus he has an official visit on the calendar. So all signs point to Miami being the pick here. On3 just put their Cristobal in. I mentioned on the private Zoom call that we did on Thursday for Canes Connection members that Miami feels very, very good about where they stand here. I will reaffirm that here. Miami feels very good about Martinez, and they love the player. A guy like this, college football, I think in general, one thing that separates college from the pros is the importance of these big physical backs. That's why Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, physical running games. You don't always see that with the NFL teams that win the Super Bowl. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're more pass-oriented, built around a premier quarterback. College is very, you know, it's almost a prerequisite for these national championship teams to have a running back that can impose their will on the game. I think Damian Martinez 228 pounds, 6.1 yards a carry last year, over 2,000 yards to start his career, first two seasons. I think he just turned 20. He brings you that element, and that's an element that national championship teams have. And there's some good backs on Florida. Florida State, Roydell Williams, the Alabama transfer, looked pretty good, number 24. But Damian Martinez is another class of back, and Miami's at a very, very strong spot to add him to the roster.
Well, we'll keep bringing you these portal updates because you know that this is not going to be the end of it. Miami obviously looks good with Martinez here, but after a ton of other guys, and I shouldn't say a ton because it's not like they're after, you know, 15, 20 players, but players that they believe can help them win big time games this year. And we'll keep you updated here on CanesInsight.com. And again, this won't be our last time talking about Florida State and Florida either. We're going to get you a whole bunch of different insider looks at those teams, those rosters, and get you ready for when Miami obviously matches up for them this year. So keep it locked here on CanesInsight.com and Canes Insight Daily Podcast coming at you every day, as always.
Yeah, this an insight to the Canes, and you know we ain't playing no games. Joaquin said dominate, so that's what we do. Home of the legends and seventh floor crew, down in Miami where hurricanes brew. You here for the rumors, we bring you the news, cause it's all about the you, and nobody do it like Canes Insight. Nobody do it like Canes Insight. Nobody do it like Canes Insight.